There's a battle going on today for the heart and soul of America, and the right side must win. It's time for America Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. On America Can we talk truth about America and why it matters to you. America Can We Talk starts now.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Debbie Georgiadis. Thank you so very much for tuning in to America Can We Talk, and I want to jump right in and talk about tonight's first five. Many of you probably saw a story that was in the news over the last week involved two bicyclists in, they were American students, or they were young people. They were 29 years old. They happened to have been students at Georgetown, which is where I went to law school. So I feel a little bit of an affinity there. But anyway, two students who decided, or they were adults, they were out of school. They decided to take a bicycle trip around the world. And the places they touched on that they went to, they actually were extremely adventurous, and they shipped their bicycles. This is starting in the summer of July, in July of 2017. They were students, or they were not married yet, but they were 29 years old. They were a long-term, you know, together couple, and they decided they wanted to turn away from their boring life in Washington, D.C., and stuck in front of a computer screen and working at their desk, and see the world, a sentiment a lot of people have expressed. You know, when they're young, if they have the ability to do it, why not? Let's go see the world. So they shipped their bicycles to South Africa to start with. And then they started a blog, too. Their blog was called Simply Cycling. And so they were telling people as they went along all the great stuff that they were doing in this couple, as they were zooming around in touring the world on their bicycles. They went to South Africa first. They made their way to Dar es Salaam. And I've actually been there because I took a semester in Kenya. But leaving that aside, shipped the bicycles they had, went to Europe, flew from there to Istanbul, Turkey, and then to the largest city in Kazakhstan. So they kept this trip up, bicycling around the world. But what I want to capture about them and what I want to share with you is just it has to do with preserving this precious, extraordinary country is. The kind of sentiments they expressed in their blog contrasted with the real world. In their blog, one couple of things I want to read to you that they had to say, again, it's called Simply Cycling. I don't know if it's still available online or not. But this was one of the blog posts that the young, and by the way, this couple's names, I'm going to tell you their names, Jay Austin and Lauren Gogan. And they were, as I say, 29 years old, bicycling around the world, been doing for over a year now. So this was one blog entry they put in their Simply Cycling. You read the papers and you're led to believe that the world is a big, scary place. This is Jay Austin writing this. People, comma, the narrative goes, are not to be trusted. People are bad. People are evil. I don't buy it. Evil is a make-believe concept we've invented to deal with the complexities of fellow humans holding values and beliefs and perspectives different than our own. By and large, he goes on, humans are kind, self-interested sometimes, myopic sometimes, but kind, generous, wonderful, and kind. No greater revelation has come from our journey than this. So he was writing about all the wonderful people they met and the great people they ran into. And he had one other entry. The last entry he did in his blog was from July 11th, where they were cycling in the country of Kyrgyzstan. And he said, we coast into a gorgeous green valley. We freewheel past yurts and cows and little, I don't even know how to pronounce the word, Kyrgyz kids and their enthusiastic waves. We pass a French cyclist coming in the other direction, stop to compare notes on road cycles, and ride on just a little longer. The reason I'm telling you about this young couple, two 29-year-olds, is that They unfortunately, on this trip, in their utopian worldview innocence, traveled to the country of I'm going to say the right name of this because it's one of the former Stan countries. It is Kyrgyzstan. I'm sorry if I don't say it correctly. No, Tajikistan. Tajikistan. Tajikistan is where they were. And so they're riding along on their bicycles, you know, in their utopian worldview. Two other cyclists with them and just other people they had managed to run into were riding with. When a van filled with ISIS people in this Tajikistan went past them, turned around, did a U-turn, deliberately plowed into them, ran them over, backed the truck over them again, jumped out, and started stabbing these cyclists. Sadly, both of these young people lost their lives in this attack by ISIS. And not only did they lose their lives in this attack, but the ISIS killers did a video showing the what they had done and bragging, if you come to our country, if you come to where we are, this is what we will do. It was a vicious pronouncement, essentially saying that they were, you know, these people basically deserved it. The woman in this couple, this lovely young couple, went to Georgetown. She had actually majored in government. And she had, as minors, she had two language minors, Arabic and Spanish, I think it was. And the boyfriend had gone summer school undergrad. He'd gone and gotten a graduate degree at Georgetown. And I raise this story to say this. You know, we talk a lot about the moral equivalency of all things. Well, this is part of what happened to this couple. They had no idea evil exists. That's what they said in their video. No idea evil exists. And because they didn't know that, they wandered into a country now 90% Muslim, filled with ISIS people, and then became victims. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit after the break some more, but I wanted to say there is a consequence when you treat people and teach people these crazy ideas. I'm Debbie Georges. This is America Can We Talk. Come right back after our break.
The right to freedom of speech, to be who you are and to speak your mind, is a foundational American value enshrined in the First Amendment to our Constitution. And nowhere is that value more important than on America's college campuses. But too often on our campuses, unpopular political opinions or religious beliefs are met with censorship or even violence instead of honest dialogue and discussion. And Texas colleges are no exception. Schools like the University of Texas at Austin, Sam Houston State University, and the University of North Texas all place burdensome restrictions on free speech. That's why the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, FIRE, fights back against the censors to defend liberty on America's college campuses. Does your college or alma mater uphold our most cherished American value of freedom of speech? Find out by visiting thefire.org and consider lending FIRE your support.
America is greatly blessed by the men and women serving in our military who are defending us every day, making our freedom possible. Military families also serve, and they face hardships while dads and moms are far from home. Military families endure frequent moves around the country and overseas, requiring them to adjust to new schools and make new friends over and over. They also face anguish while their soldier is deployed overseas, often in harm's way. The Army Scholarship Foundation offers one way to help military families by providing academic scholarships to children and spouses of soldiers. And you can help. Visit ArmyScholarshipFoundation.org and consider making a tax-deductible donation to help a military family member pursue his or her educational dreams. Assisting military family members with their college education is a great way for all of us at home to say thank you to our military families for your service and sacrifice. Visit ArmyScholarshipFoundation.org and get involved today.
Our military and veterans have served all of us, defending our nation whenever and wherever duty calls. But at home, when their families need support, they know they can turn to Operation Homefront for help. Operation Homefront provides military families with critical financial assistance, transitional and permanent housing, and family support programs throughout the year to help prevent their short-term needs from turning into long-term struggles. When you support Operation Homefront, your donation will make a real difference, because 92% of their expenditures go directly towards programs that our military families need most. Each year, Operation Homefront serves thousands of military families, families in your community, helping wounded veterans transition to civilian life, helping military families pay overdue bills when their loved ones deploy overseas, and helping them through their short-term struggles. Make a difference today and help serve America's military families. Visit OperationHomefront.org. That's OperationHomefront.org.
Do you dream of a better world? One where poverty and hunger are a thing of the past? What if you could make a real difference in the lives of those most in need? The solution to poverty is not handouts, but hope. The freedom and opportunity to use one's talents and resources for good. At Five Talents, we empower the poor to start their own small businesses. Five Talents works in some of the most difficult places in the world. With $85, you can help a new entrepreneur escape from poverty and build a sustainable business that helps her whole family. Can you think of anywhere else your gift can work that effectively? When you walk with Five Talents, you bring opportunity to those most in need. Join us in demonstrating the greatness of American generosity. Visit 5talents.org today to learn about the impact you can make. That's 5talents.org. F-I-V-E talents.org.
And welcome back to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatis. I'm so happy you've tuned in. I'm happy if you're watching on Facebook Live. Hello. Thank you for doing that. Love talking with you every week. I want to, just on this Georgetown story, these students, one more thing about this. You know, we have in our country kind of praised ourselves and a little bit of a, you know, kind of a snooty intellectual tone when we try to say that, you know, there are differences and, you know, differences in countries and people, but we're all the same. We have embraced this idea of moral equivalency that simply says there's no reason in particular to assume that other people are bad, no reason to have any sense of the notion that safety and security in America are any different. It's the same everywhere, and we have truly failed to be and honestly been dishonest with the younger generation, recognizing the threat presented by radical Islam in this world. We're so proud of ourselves to be sure we have a, you know, we have a multicultural, inclusive, who are we to say? We can't really. And so we have this, but this is what I'm getting at. This is a real consequence of that moral idiocy. It's just moral idiocy. If you cannot say, these kids went to Georgetown, this girl studied government. You think sometime in there, or in the guy's graduate program, someone, if they were discussing in any degree international relations or, you know, comparative cultures, someone might have said, you know, there's really a problem in the world today with radical Islam. Not all Muslims, but radical Islam. There's a big problem. And you should be really careful because they actually are not attacking people because we've provoked them. 9/11 didn't happen because we did bad things. 9/11 happened because it's part of a long, since the founding of Islam, ongoing conquest ideology to attack people. And that is the reason 9/11 happened. It's the reason today we're still fighting in various fronts around the world. I did, you know, we had good news about ISIS under President Trump. We had ISIS contained within Iraq and Syria. And so maybe we thought, okay, the JV team's been disabled. But actually, the country that where these precious young people lost their lives, Tajikistan, and I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly, but all of those, many of those stand countries have become Muslim majority now and have become radicalized by ISIS. They have ISIS danger everywhere. And the idea that we had this utopian mindset where these kids simply didn't even know, didn't have the idea they could be at risk. I think it's terribly sad. And it is, again, to point out, it's a consequence of the anti-American mindset that will just paint all religions, all people, all countries as moral equivalent when it's not true. They're not morally equivalent. And I'm just desperately sorry for these families. But I think the lesson I hope going forward is we ought to be more willing to teach children and college students and grad students the dangers the world presents and be willing to say, because the world presents these dangers, you need to be careful where you go. You might want to think twice. One of the girls, the young woman who lost her life, one of her friends said, you know, actually, we were kind of wondering, why are they going there? That's very dangerous right now. But I wanted to point out that I'm sorry about the story, but I think it's really important to point out what the consequence is, the loss of truly innocent life. It's not okay. It's just not okay. Okay, before I get to my next story, I want to talk to you about what CNN pulled or attempted to pull in the Manafort trial. And that was just a most brazen story. But before, I'm afraid I won't get to it. So I want to just quick take a moment in tonight's show. Here we are in the dog days of August, August 18th. And we had the passing of a truly famous and wonderful American performer, singer Aretha Franklin passed away this week. She has entertained, you know, hundreds of thousands, and here she is to tell you about it. I want to just play a little bit of her clip one. Okay, I just love her. I want to play that part. That was from that movie, The Blues Brothers. And, you know, Aretha Franklin, she mesmerized people. She was fabulous. She was a great singer. She filled in and in. Enormously important and very last minute musical performance. Well, I think it was Luciano Pavarotti lost his voice or something. She was a talent of the generation, of our century. Just so sorry for her passing, grateful for her music. Okay, now I want to turn this show, America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatis. The show is America Can We Talk. It's dedicated to preserving this extraordinary country that is America. And I want to talk about something CNN did this week. And to be more precise, CNN, Washington Post, Politico, New York Times, NBC Universal, and Associated Press all joined in a motion made to the judge who is overseeing the Manafort trial. The Manafort trial being the guy who worked for Trump, and he's been accused of things that happened, 10 or more years ago. And the jury is out now. They're waiting to hear back from the jury. But those news outlets made a motion to the judge. They wanted to be given all of the jurors, the people making this decision, their full names and their home addresses. Okay, I mean, if you're not screaming, you should be. This is so outrageous. And I want to just as a slight aside, tell you, I sat on a jury in happened to be in Dallas. It was a capital murder case. And at the end, we convicted the guy who admitted he'd done it. He had a defense, which the jury did not agree was warranted. But so it was a capital murder case. We finished that trial. And the judge said, the friends of the defendant are kind of upset. So we're going to have a marshal walk you to your car. You get in your car and you get out of the parking lot. And was very grateful. Glad someone could do that. So the point is that no one serves on a jury hoping that they'll have to answer hostile questions. It's not your job when you're on the jury. It's enough to be on a jury and do your job. But CNN is so malevolently driven to destroy Donald Trump. And that's what this entire trial is about, this Manafort prosecution is about. It is about, can we find a way to destroy this guy? So these news outlets, CNN being the lead, attack dog, asked Judge Ellis, can we have the full names and home addresses of the jurors? I mean, you think about what's happened to you. You watch on the news what Antifa does to Trump supporters. They attack, they beat up. When you look at the just assault mindset living in America today and encouraged by people like Maxine Waters, encouraging people to attack Trump supporters. And then the CNN thinks they have the right to get the names and addresses of these jurors. And those names and addresses will be out there on Twitter in a nanosecond with the entire left-wing mob in this country at the front door of those jurors' homes. So Judge Ellis, fortunately, showed the wisdom to say no. And in explaining why he said no, he actually said he has been receiving death threats. A judge in a criminal prosecution, and this, by the way, this Manafort prosecution has nothing to do with Trump-Russia collusion, which there is no evidence of, but even if there were, nothing to do with Trump-Russia collusion. It has to do with trying to get Manafort, bring him to his knees so he will turn against Donald Trump. It's about business deals that happened years ago. I don't know what the jury's going to do, but this is more of a persecution than a prosecution to start with. CNN is trying to pile on and get the jurors frightened of them. The judge said, look, I'm getting threatened. The judge said he has to be escorted by marshals from the courthouse to his hotel. Would not even divulge the hotel he's staying in because of the crazies in the American media, that the American left, the media mob. This is an anti-American media mob running haywire, running wild in our country. And you have CNN thinking, and they weren't even embarrassed. It wasn't like they were, trying to hack in and see if they could find the jurors' names. They made an open motion to the judge who said, no way you can have these addresses. Are you crazy? But I'll tell you a couple of things about the Manafort trial. I am a lawyer by background. I think we have on paper, our Constitution, our entire system of justice, our system of laws, the rule of law, most unique, extraordinary, exceptional, wonderful thing about America. It's a beautiful thing. In this case, we have Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor, supposed to find out if there's any Trump-Russia collusion, can't find a darn thing. Now he's after Manafort. And Manafort, by the way, who was Trump's campaign manager for whatever it was, 2 or 3 months or something, a short period of time, he's the target because Mueller thinks that he's going to get Manafort to turn on Trump. So Manafort arrived at this trial and this situation of being prosecuted or persecuted because the Mueller designated team broke down the front door of his house, smashed the door in, middle of the night, scared the daylights out of his family. You'd think they were after a terrorist, but no, they're just after Manafort. And then when this trial, so he's on trial, he's in solitary confinement in jail during this trial, 23 hours a day. This is what you do to crazy people. This is what you do to terrorists. But what I'm getting at is, what you're seeing is the astonishing, almost impossible to describe anti-American left on attack, on steroids, to destroy President Trump. And Manafort is just there, what they hope the next vehicle is. Folks, this is an outrage. It is a major damage to the rule of law in America, and we've got to do something more about that. But I have to go off to a break. So come back on Facebook Live. Come back in 4 minutes. We'll be right back. Can you hear us
now? Hi, this is Debbie Georgiadis. If you are listening to America Can We Talk, you know that my show is dedicated to preserving the exceptional idea that is America. I want to take a minute to tell you what I mean by that. Unlike almost every other country on the planet, America's culture, our very identity, has nothing at all to do with ethnicity, race, or national origin. Instead, America is all about ideas, including the most basic idea that each of us, simply because we were born, has the God-given right to live out our individual version of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness within the guardrails of the Constitution and our laws. Preserving this requires patriots in every American generation to grasp the importance of this truth, to recognize and fight back against the subtle and not so subtle relentless attacks on America's liberty, and to speak up for and defend the unique culture of American style liberty. If there's one thing the conservative movement needs, it's a leader. And we have one, the Heritage Foundation. Hi, I'm Debbie Georgiadis. Heritage gets in the trenches on Capitol Hill. They promote principled solutions directly to lawmakers in Washington, and unlike politicians, they don't waver or compromise. But they're not a Washington institution. There are nearly 500,000 Heritage members and supporters in America, and they're on a mission to grow that number and build the conservative base. You can become a Heritage member by going to joinheritage.org today. I've been a member of Heritage myself for years. I have Heritage experts on my show, and I rely on their analysis to get the facts out. As a member, you'll get updates from Heritage Foundation on the fight for conservative solutions to America's challenges. Plus, you'll receive exclusive invitations to conservative events where you live. So join the growing movement. Find out more at joinheritage.org. That's joinheritage.org.
Texans have a long tradition of independence, and we don't like being told what to do, especially by liberal bureaucrats 1,000 miles away. That's why for 30 years, the Dallas-based Institute for Policy Innovation has fought Washington's efforts to take more of your money and freedom. IPI works every day to keep taxes low and freedom high, to promote free market health care, expand energy security, protect intellectual property, and combat onerous regulations that destroy American jobs. Politicians often talk smaller government, but then vote for more of it. By contrast, IPI has never veered from its mission to defend the Constitution and fight for freedom. If you want to be informed about free market policies and solutions, go to IPI's website and sign up. All of their information is free for sharing. Help IPI restore liberty and economic growth. Go to IPI.org today. That's IPI.org. One more time, go to IPI.org today.
America guarantees each eligible adult citizen the right to vote. The Public Interest Legal Foundation, a 501c3 public interest law firm, is dedicated entirely to election integrity, to assuring that voter rolls include names of only citizens eligible to vote, and that protections are in place to prevent voter fraud of all kinds. The Public Interest Legal Foundation discovered that more than 1,000 non-citizens enrolled to vote in Virginia in just 8 counties, and in Philadelphia, felons as well as non-citizens are on the voter rolls. Non-citizens have been registering to vote and voting. The Public Interest Legal Foundation is fighting nationwide and in Texas to ensure that only Americans pick American leaders. We are actively litigating high-impact cases to clean up voter rolls and protect the ballot box. If you do not want your vote canceled out, visit publicinterestlegal.org to join us in the fight to restore integrity to American elections. Protect your vote. Visit publicinterestlegal.org today.
Welcome back to America Can We Talk. I'm so very happy you've tuned in tonight. And this is Debbie George-Jazz, my America Can We Talk show. I want to take a moment to thank a couple of people that make the show possible. First of all, thank you to Greg Lindemood, who's arming the boards, working the boards in Irving, Texas at the unusual Salem station where I do this show on 660 AM. Thank you so much here in Oxnard, California, where Kevin Campbell is here bringing us ice water because it's a little warm here in the studio. Thank him very much for helping me get this done here. And also I need to thank the sponsor of our show. Our America Can We Talk would not be possible without the generosity of the GC Works, which is a Dallas-based company that performs research in advanced technology and delivers innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. I want to thank grateful to our listeners wherever you are. Love having you listen on Facebook Live. You can also listen on the 660 AM app and on the stations we're on Salem around the country. Okay, back to what I want to talk about. So first of all, thank you for tuning in. This show I'm entirely dedicated to I'm just on fire about the idea we have to preserve the country, the extraordinary, unique adventure in liberty, experiment in liberty that is America. And yes, I think there is a lot of reasons we should be concerned if we are about that. Concerned about that. One thing I want to talk about is you probably saw this last week that I think it was the Boston Globe led the charge, but one of the big newspapers in the country led the charge to have 301 newspapers around the country run editorials on the same day attacking President Trump. Or, from their worldview, how they see it is, they ran these editorials to make the argument, in their words, journalists are not the enemy. And they're doing this because of how frequently, when President Trump is making speeches or holding events, he makes comments about the biased media. And so the journalists are fighting back and saying, you know, you need to stop saying this. This is dangerous. You could hurt someone could get hurt. I want to tell you, folks, this effort by those newspapers, by those journalists, to play victim is outrageous. Their efforts to, and even what they wrote is so manipulative, dishonest. I mean, they have been, you know, the media, I mean, everyone's known in America, and I think maybe around the world, media tends to tilt left. They're left-wingers to one degree or another. Most media is. Okay, so we kind of know that. And, you know, Republicans and conservatives have complained about that. In fact, if you want to go way back to the early founding of America, people were talking about, and there are stories about that. We're not going to tonight, but there are stories about it. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are people who will say the media is not being fair. The media, you know, misrepresent a situation by describing this, but they left out this fact, or they said this, but didn't report the other. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that journalists can twist stories. And in America, as you may recall, but I'll just remind you that in the press coverage related to President Trump, I mean, this is the idea that the media is complaining that Trump is pointing out to America that the media is biased. I mean, this is the bully crying on the playground. Wait a minute, someone hit me back. This is bully media, left-wing media, complaining because someone's pointing out how left-wing they are. But I will remind you about the press coverage. This was as measured by a Harvard study, the Harvard Kennedy School, the Shorenstein Center for Media, Politics, and Public Policy admitted they analyzed press coverage of President Trump and said at least on CNN and ABC, 93% negative. We're not talking about 60-40. We're not talking, as they say, you know, between the 40-yard lines. We're talking about destruction media, destroy the present media, and everyone is supposed to be quiet. Trump is being ridiculed for pointing it out. And this is, and you know, I'm going to tell you, the reason I say that this particular effort at putting all these editorials out was so dishonest in the actual content of the editorials in this country. I'm going to start with Boston Globe. For one thing, Boston Globe ran they reported on a poll where they said, the report is titled, How Americans View the Press. But the poll question they're reporting on is, President Trump should close down mainstream news outlets like CNN, Washington Post, and New York Times. So someone did a poll asking people, should President Trump shut down the CNN, Washington Post, and New York Times media outlets? Before I tell you the answer to the poll, let me remind you, President Trump never says that. He doesn't threaten the media. He doesn't try to shut them down. He doesn't say he'll do it. He just points out their bias. These people are running this poll story in their editorial to make the argument to the American people that somehow Trump is going to shut us down. And then they do the typical laying out statements by famous Americans from early on. We've always known we have to have media. You know, a media free press is the hallmark of a free society. You know, some John Adams quote. They have all sorts of founders quotes talking about how important a free press is. No one's stopping the free press. This is what's so dishonest about it. They're acting like Trump is stopping them. What Trump is doing is pointing out how extremely biased they are. Okay, so yeah, one quote they had was from John Adams. Another poll they ran. So the answer in the first poll was, of course, that when people are given the chance to answer, they say, yeah, actually, you know, President Trump should close down mainstream outlets. Well, I mean, it was a stupid question because he's not trying to do that. And second of all, I'm sorry that anyone said yes, because really, I don't think the president, and he's not even talking about doing it, he should not be shutting down newspapers. I mean, and he's not talking about it. So I'm sorry that anyone, but yeah, as you might guess, more Republicans than Democrats said, you know, yeah, that he should shut down some of these mainstream news outlets. Okay, next poll question they asked. The news media is the enemy of the American people. Well, yes, this is Trump's point. If you aren't adequately informing Americans, if you're just doing, you know, slash and burn coverage of everything Trump does, then yeah, you're the enemy of the presidency, at least, and you are the enemy of the people who want to be informed. So naturally, the polling, the news media is the enemy of the American people. 48% of Republicans said yes. Folks, that would have been true, if I had to guess, that would have been true before President Trump was elected. Most Republicans just dismiss a lot of mainstream media because they don't want to, they know they're being lied to. This is why this radio show, other conservative talk radio shows, websites are good, because people can get their views out there without being filtered and misrepresented by mainstream media. So that was the that poll. I mean, I felt like with the Boston Globe and the other papers that ran editorials, they kind of proved Trump's point. Yeah, we can say whatever we want, and no one in America, and most especially the president, is entitled to say that we're the enemy of the people. I mean, people don't have to agree with Trump, but he's allowed to say it. They're saying we can misrepresent, and you, Trump, can't say a darn word about it. This is why I think actually the Trump derangement system, Trump derangement syndrome exists, because he doesn't back down, and the media is not used to someone who just won't back down. They can hardly believe themselves. Another poll had the president should have the authority to close news outlets engaged in bad behavior. Again, more Republicans than Democrats, although some Democrats like that one, too. Anyway, I want to turn to something else about the media. Really, really important story that it isn't just CNN and New York Times and Washington Post. I always call them the Democrat media mob. But it's increasingly the social media. And I want to talk about this tonight because it's just breathtakingly important to understand the depth of the radical left-wing leaning of most of the social media world. And when I say social media, I'm referring to, you know, YouTube and Google and Twitter and Facebook. These people control the news. They control the news. We're going to hit that in the next cycle. Next segment tonight, I'm going to talk to you more about what the latest social media things are. But stop and think about how important this is. You know, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 40 years ago, people get a newspaper at their front door, they read the newspaper. If they were smart, they might get two or three papers, compare views. Maybe 20 years ago, they turned on a network television. But now, people actually go to places. They go to Google, which is kind of their access to the internet, to say, what's the truth about climate change? What's the truth about the number of people at the border who are crossing the border? What's the truth about people go and they use Google as a search engine? There are other search engines. You don't have to use Google. But when Google is so left-wing that they are directly twisting your search results to drive you to liberal answers, you're really being deprived of the ability to find truth. We're going to talk in the next segment how they've had Dennis Prager, the just amazingly talented and just dedicated guy, has Prager University. His video is getting shut down by YouTube, shut down by Facebook. And I'm going to tell you a story I think is truly amazing that has to do with Robert Spencer. He is an author. In fact, I just bought his new book. I just got to deliver his new book. But he's a guy who's pointing out the dangers of radical Islam. And he has been, I mean, the attack that was done on him, and this was through social media, but really actually involved MasterCard, the credit card company. And folks, if we can't get truth from the media, we're really sunk. I'm Debbie George Jass, America Can We Talk. Come right back.
America faces unprecedented threats to our national security. The Center for Security Policy, based in Washington, D.C., is a national leader focused on the organization, management, and direction of public policy coalitions to promote U.S. national security. The Center is a special forces in the war of ideas, dedicated to identifying opportunities and challenges likely to affect American security and acting promptly to ensure that they are the subject of focused national examination and effective action. The Center enlists support from executive branch officials, key legislators, and other public policy organizations, and brings these teams together to develop and shape policies that will keep America safe. Check out centerforsecuritypolicy.org for the latest news and developments brought to you by America's leading security experts. Becoming and remaining informed is one of the best ways every citizen can be a part of the mission to keep America safe. That's centerforsecuritypolicy.org.
Texans have a long tradition of independence, and we don't like being told what to do, especially by liberal bureaucrats 1,000 miles away. That's why for 30 years, the Dallas-based Institute for Policy Innovation has fought Washington's efforts to take more of your money and freedom. IPI works every day to keep taxes low and freedom high, to promote free market healthcare, expand energy security, protect intellectual property, and combat onerous regulations that destroy American jobs. Politicians often talk smaller government, but then vote for more of it. By contrast, IPI has never veered from its mission to defend the Constitution and fight for freedom. If you want to be informed about free market policies and solutions, go to IPI's website and sign up. All of their information is free for sharing.
Help IPI restore liberty and economic growth. Go to IPI.org today. That's IPI.org. One more time, go to IPI.org today.
America is greatly blessed by the men and women serving in our military who are defending us every day, making our freedom possible. Military families also serve, and they face hardships while dads and moms are far from home. Military families endure frequent moves around the country and overseas, requiring them to adjust to new schools and make new friends over and over. They also face anguish while their soldier is deployed overseas, often in harm's way. The Army Scholarship Foundation offers one way to help military families by providing academic scholarships to children and spouses of soldiers. And you can help. Visit ArmyScholarshipFoundation.org and consider making a tax-deductible donation to help a military family member pursue his or her educational dream. Assisting military family members with their college education is a great way for all of us at home to say thank you to our military families for your service and sacrifice. Visit ArmyScholarshipFoundation.org and get involved today.
If there's one thing the conservative movement needs, it's a leader. And we have one, the Heritage Foundation. Hi, I'm Debbie Georgiadis. Heritage gets in the trenches on Capitol Hill. They promote principled solutions directly to lawmakers in Washington. And unlike politicians, they don't waver or compromise. But they're not a Washington institution. There are nearly a half million Heritage members and supporters in America. And they're on a mission to grow that number and build the conservative base. You can become a Heritage member by going to joinheritage.org today. I've been a member of Heritage myself for years. I have Heritage experts on my show, and I rely on their analysis to get the facts out. As a member, you'll get updates from Heritage Foundation on the fight for conservative solutions to America's challenges. Plus, you'll receive exclusive invitations to conservative events where you live. So join the growing movement. Find out more at joinheritage.org. That's joinheritage.org.
Can you hear us now? Can you hear us?
And welcome back to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiadis, and I'm so happy you've tuned in to America Can We Talk. You know, this show is just a blessing to me. I love the opportunity I have to talk with you each week, and I love hearing back from listeners. So on Twitter, you can go to at Debbie Can We Talk. If you're watching this on Facebook Live, first, thanks for watching on Facebook Live. We have conversations about all sorts of issues running in the comments section on Facebook, and we love hearing from you. And we also, I love hearing from you by email. People email me about a variety of things, or you should talk about this, or whatever they want to suggest. So I'm happy to have you do that. And my email related to radio is americacanwetalk@gmail.com. So you're more than welcome to do that. Love hearing from you. I think there should be a perpetual ongoing American political conversation about many issues facing this country. And part of the reason it's so important to have this is because of the astonishing efforts of the American left, or I should call them, as my friend said, the anti-American left, to silence conservative voices. And I want to put this social media silencing in a little bit of context before I share a couple of stories with you. One is, you know, we've been talking about, and actually Americans have been talking about for decades, but it's gotten much, much worse in the last 10 or 12 years, which is the radical left-wing nature of most college professors and administrations and classes, the whole culture of America's college campuses, with a tiny number of exceptions. You know, there are conservative schools, very tiny, but for the large part, the American academia, and it's not even just college, but it's down to high school, the curricula that children are learning, is very left-wing. So we have left-wing, and it is, in my view, censoring when, for example, colleges that are state colleges, that are, you know, universities that are part of the state, when they indulge in the rioters, the protesters, they don't let conservatives come speak. So you have that massive segment of American society silenced by the anti-American left. And that's what they are. What the left wing of America is pushing today is simply anti-American. We need to stop pussyfooting around and pretending there's some more polite word. It's anti-American. It's repression of free speech. So then you have that segment. You have the media, where you have the large outlets that are considered mainstream media, but they're not mainstream, but CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, you know, Washington Post, New York Times, all leftist, all attacking, not just President Trump. Maybe, you know, he's not your favorite president. Not just President Trump, but attacking all conservative views. I mean, there have been complaints since, you know, for 20 years about how you can't get conservative views accurately portrayed in most of the newspapers and news outlets and television stations. So we have that hassle. So the little carve out we have for conservatives to have a voice, to communicate their ideas, a lot of it is through talk radio, like we're doing right now, and then on social media. And by social media, I mean YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. You think how often, as mentioned before the break, you want to figure out, hey, what's the story? I don't know the story about what caused the California fires, for example. So you Google it, and Google sends you to all the left-wing, you know, this is being caused by climate change and mean evil corporations, all those answers, and you have to dig and dig to get to the point that actually informed people who have worked in forestry and forest maintenance for decades are saying, no, no, climate change has nothing to do with it. It's truly ridiculous policies that have not allowed us to maintain our forests safely, that attack people who want to do forest thinning or who want to do, I mean, controlled burn. So my point is, social media is a tiny place you have to go. And so what we now have happening on social media, I was going to read Trump's tweet first. No, I'm not. I'm not. First, I'm going to tell you a story about Candace Owen, whom I think is just amazing. This Candace Owen, she's been on the show before. She's a very outspoken conservative. And Candace Owen was actually one who, when the New York Times hired that Sarah, and it's J-E-O-N-G, Jong, I think it is, but New York Times hired her to on their editorial board. And she is someone who has a history of years and years of racist, I hate white people, essentially, tweets. New York Times defended hiring her, saying, so what? You know, she just did that to get back if people said mean things to her. Even though when you scroll down her page, you can't find those mean things, but she claims that's why she did that. So Candace Owens, a brilliant, outspoken, young, beautiful, young black woman in America. She is an outspoken person saying essentially to much of to her fellow black Americans, stop agreeing with victims. Stop agreeing to just join the Democrat Party and vote Democrat because they tell you to. And her big pitch is think for yourself. So she's been advocating and really been effective in turning more black Americans into at least listening to the arguments on the right. So she, Candace Owens, took the tweets that Sarah Jong, who works for New York Times, put out, anti-white tweets, and what Candace Owens did was simply reverse the races in the tweets. She put, you know, she replaced black versus white. So she's making herself sound like in these tweets that she is making racist tweets against blacks. And she got taken off of Twitter, not permanently, but temporarily. So I first want to have you just, this is a clip I have, clip three. It's Candace Owens talking about the social media cutdown, a meltdown and shutdown of conservatives. Clip three.
It is a very real problem. I, as you guys know, was banned off of Twitter, but I also just got out of Facebook jail for 7 days.
Congratulations.
Yes, I didn't make any noise about that one, but there's serious discrimination going on, political discrimination. They are trying to propel voices that are liberal, propel voices that are Democrat, and silence those that are conservative, especially those that support our great president. So,
and I would say especially minority voices, but what exactly are they afraid of? What do you think? I mean, you're in this world.
Well, they're realizing all of their worst fears, which is that they no longer can control the majority with their lies and their aggressive rhetoric. And people are starting to wake up and understand that they have been duped and they have been lied to. I think for me, listen, I present a new perspective to the minority community. Black Americans, we're seeing the approval ratings for Donald Trump go up in that regard, 36%, the recent Rasmussen poll. So they don't like it. They feel that they're losing control and they are upping everything that they're doing to stop it.
Okay, folks, that was Candace Owens. She's just been a stellar shining light in the American political conversation over the last year. In fact, this interview you're hearing was on the one-year anniversary of her having gotten involved in social media. And she's very she's direct, she's engaging, she's honest, and she's become very respectful of and likes President Trump. And her point is that she's being effective in reaching black Americans. Now they have a Rasmussen poll saying, as she was saying, 36% of black Americans now hold a positive view toward Donald Trump. And what the social media answer is to her, and to other people trying to make conservative arguments. And I'm reminded of that joke, you know, when they say when you're in a dispute with someone who can't defend their position, what they end up saying is, the joke is they say, "Shut up," she argued. I mean, that is the argument of the American left on so many points. That's the argument for taking people, for punishing them on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, is essentially to say, you have to shut up because we don't have an answer for what you're saying. We can't defend left-wing views. So our answer is, shut up. So I want to just tell you an amazing story. President Trump had a great tweet out, and I don't want to, I may get time to read it at the end, but I don't want to do that right now because I want to tell you a story about a guy who's just been a more recent victim of this social media. I mean, Prager University stuff gets taken down, all sorts of conservatives, but there's a guy named Robert Spencer, and he is an active, outspoken, he's trying to raise awareness about the danger of radical Islam to America. He's an anti-jihad activist, which we all should be, frankly. All should be anti-jihad. I don't know who should be in favor of jihad except for the jihadists, but Robert Spencer his new book, and I just got it, as I said, it's called The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. You know, hundreds and hundreds of pages, well-researched, footnoted. I mean, it tells a story of the conquest ideology of Islam from the time it was founded by Muhammad up until now, up until ISIS forming, and it's just footnoted, detailed, and so it's a very, very good book. And he's very willing to say things and speak up when other media outlets are quiet. So Robert Spencer uses a platform that a lot of conservatives use on YouTube, or maybe you can use it other ways, but I've seen it used on YouTube, called Patreon. Patreon is just, it's a membership platform. It provides business tools for creators, for people, for individuals to run a subscription content service. To make it, make long story short, you put your videos up on YouTube and you can use Patreon to say, hey, if you like what I'm saying, please donate to me because no one's paying me. I'm doing this out of my love of country, love of freedom, love of America. I could use some help. And so people who are, you know, who are not paid by mainstream media, they don't have a job in conservative media, they're just voices out there, use Patreon. And he had a Patreon account on his YouTube channel. Here's the email he got. This was an email he got from Patreon. Hi, my name is April. I'm on the trust and safety team here at Patreon. I've been notified by MasterCard, the credit card company, that we must remove your account from Patreon effective immediately. MasterCard has a stricter set of rules and regulations than Patreon, and they reserve the right to not offer their services to accounts of their choosing. This is in line with their terms of service, which means it's something we have to comply with. Comply by. I've paid out your remaining creator balance to you via direct deposit. Sorry for the inconvenience and frustration this might cause. So, Patreon was being used by this conservative blogger, or conservative speaker, activist, to get his message out. And MasterCard, who's somehow affiliated with Patreon, this guy, Robert Spencer, said, I don't even have a MasterCard account, but his account was shut down because MasterCard contacted Patreon and said, you can't let him talk. Or as they say, shut up, they argued. This is the several points to kind of wrap your head around as we think about this. If we don't have social media, if we don't have access to Google and access to YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, where is it conservatives are going to be able to hear their ideas and share their ideas? Robert Spencer is vilified not because he lies, not because he makes things up, but because he reports things about the dangers of radical jihad in this world. He points out the networks in America that are dangerous to us, and there is a well-armed, well-funded, deeply intentional effort by radical Islam to shut people up who dare point out the danger to America. My guess is those types are the ones that got to the board of MasterCard to say, hey, this guy's saying mean things about us and we don't like that. I'm telling you, folks, these stories, you can read them and shake your head and say, doggone that YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Google. But our desire to be able as a free country to communicate with each other, to hear each other, to know what's happening in this country is dependent on a free access to social media. It's dependent on, and so I don't know yet if there's some way that government can, but there are ideas floating out there, but some way this government has to decide this censorship of conservative views must end. Debbie Georgias, America Can We Talk, come right back.